Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Are you interested in studying Greek, New Testament Greek? We're going to learn about that with the Reverend Dr. John Genter. He is Associate Professor of Exegetical Theology at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. This is a new appointment for him. He formerly served as Assistant Professor of Theology at Concordia University in Nebraska. I think you might recall we talked with him not too long ago here on The Coffee Hour. Dr. Genter, welcome back to The Coffee Hour.
Hey, great to be here.
So teaching Greek to new students, let's talk about your own experience with learning New Testament Greek. What did that look like? What was your experience as a New Testament Greek student?
Well, the beginning of that story was really a story of grace in defeat. So where God's grace is revealed in our defeat. It was a few months before I planned to go to the seminary, and I thought, well, I'll just knock that Greek requirement right out, you know, and check it. So I purchased the grammar and worked through some of it, took the test, and rightly failed. And I'm so thankful. I mean, I deserve to fail. I didn't know Greek. But I constantly look back at that and see God's grace in it, because if I had passed that test, I would have checked a box and continued. But the door to the world of the New Testament in Greek would have been closed to me. The whole trajectory of my life would have been very different. I wouldn't be teaching Greek at the collegiate or seminary level. And more importantly, I wouldn't have had these experiences I've got to have over the years with being as close as possible to the Word of God in the New Testament. And so I am just so thankful. I have many stories about like God's grace in my defeats, but that's one that really stands out to me. So I did take the intensive course in the summer there at St. Louis Seminary, and it was wonderful, but it also deserved the name because it was intense.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it was a 10-week program. It is like hours every morning. You're together in class going through the grammar. You have a little time for lunch, and then you're back in the book studying, doing vocab. It did the trick. I learned Greek and actually knew it, but it was quite the experience.
I can imagine that would be very intense, just being immersed in Greek language, New Testament Greek language learning for those 10 weeks. How did that shape? What kind of difference has that made learning New Testament Greek for you in studying God's word now?
Yeah, I get asked this a lot. I give a little speech before I teach Greek 1 students, because it's always important to say, because this is true, that the word of God translates. And I'll just repeat that till the day I die, because it does. So it's not like learning Greek now, you can really read the New Testament you couldn't before or something like that. That's not it. And you can look at the apostles themselves for a precedent there, because, you know, they're writing to people who speak Greek and they're totally fine teaching what it means to believe in Jesus and follow him and live as his people using the Greek translation of the Old Testament, which was written in Hebrew and Aramaic. And so if that's good enough for the apostles, it's good enough for us. But then I'll say, but as people who love God's word, we really want to be, as we have opportunity, to be as close to that as possible and see as much of it as possible so that we can resource our preaching and teaching and stand firm in the faith with as much information as possible. And the way Dr. Veltz would always talk about this when I was at the seminary was, it's sort of like the difference between watching a game on television, like a football game or a baseball game, versus being in the stands and being there yourself. So it's the same game, you know, the same results, the same major plays and everything else. But when you're there, you do get to choose what you're looking at. The cameras don't decide for you, which is kind of like, in this analogy, like what the translators are doing. You actually get to decide where you're looking, and you can see what the possible options are when you're reading Greek. And there are just lots of little things that kind of come out that don't change like the substance. There are a few that are very important, but there are a lot of things where it's just like, oh, that's good to know. Like in Greek, the word order is very flexible. In English, we're kind of stuck with word order, or else you're going to turn a subject to an object or something. But in Greek, they can really rearrange things without being confusing. And so that frees them also to make clear what points they're emphasizing. And so they'll put something right at the very beginning of the sentence that in English we can't for various reasons without sounding really awkward. And so in Greek, you're like, oh, they're really emphasizing this clause or this word or this point. And sometimes it's something as basic as like the difference between a singular or a plural, but it kind of is exciting just to see. I remember studying Greek, and the first time I was reading John, his account of the raising of Lazarus, and I was reading Jesus say to the people around, he said, like, unbind him, because he came out in his grave clothes. And I just noticed that the command to unbind was a second person plural. So he's telling more than one person to unbind Lazarus. So there's these vivid sort of details that come out. It's the same text, the same word of God, but it is fun to be able to see it at that level.
Vivid details. What a great way to describe it. So for those who want to experience these vivid details to be able to study the New Testament in New Testament Greek or Koine Greek, tell us about the opportunity to do that for students this fall.
Yeah. So Concordia Seminary is hosting an online Greek program. It runs two semesters, the fall and then the spring. And over the course of both semesters, we work through the grammar. So we get through half the grammar just about in the fall. And already there, if you've kept with it and done the work, the people that I was just teaching in this first cohort I did last year were telling me at the end of the first semester, the first term, already they're preaching or teaching, if they're in a situation to preach and teach, was really being enhanced and resourced by their ability to start to read the text in Greek. So that starts to happen pretty early. And then we finish the grammar at the end of the spring term and then work a little bit into John's gospel so that then they can leave me if they want to and start just engaging John's gospel directly. And then I exhort them to continue on and read through all of John at their own pace. So that's kind of how it works. And the structure of the program is basically there's a big component where you're just doing the work and I can't do it for you. So you're going to watch online videos of Dr. Veltz, the master who actually wrote the grammar, and he will explain things that he doesn't explain in the grammar. You'll read the grammar, you'll learn the grammar, you will memorize vocab and all that. You'll do exercises. And then we get together and I'm sort of like the tour guide or the field guide. I'll lead you through it again. I'll explain whatever wasn't clear, and you have to tell me what wasn't clear. Maybe add a few extra insights myself when I have them. And then we work through the exercises together and talk through what's going on so we make sure we understand. So that's the basic structure of how that course works.
New Testament Greek guide, tour guide. I think that deserves a business card right there.
Yeah, like a pit helmet or something, yeah.
Yes, exactly. Now, who is this class for? I know you mentioned preaching and teaching, people who do preaching and teaching. I imagine that this would be something that people in those vocations would be especially interested in. But who are some of the people that might be interested in taking this course?
Yeah, great question. So it's designed first for three groups of people. So we have specific ministry pastor graduates, SMP graduates, who would like to continue on to get their general pastor certification. And this is an important step in that process. You've got MDiv students who want to go to the seminary and do an MDiv, but they didn't do Greek in undergrad. And like me, they failed the test when they just tried to skim the grammar. Okay. And then you've got the residential alternate route people, the RN, RAR folks who have a reduced, more intensive experience at the seminary. And those are the three groups that are this course is geared for first. However, it's also open to others. So if it hasn't filled up from those three groups, we cap it at 15 usually. But if there's a space or two open, it is open to other people who just want to learn, read God's word in the New Testament in Greek. And just this last year, we had one guy who's doing, he is a Jewish guy doing his PhD at Yeshiva University. And he said he just wants to learn Greek and read the New Testament in Greek. And I said, well, I'd love to help you do that. So he was part of the cohort. He was a great addition, and it was great. So it's for mainly those people preparing for seminary, continuing along their seminary experience, but it also has an open-ended thing if there's room for others as well.
Do you see this being helpful to other church work students or other church workers, maybe perhaps online deaconess studies students?
Yeah.
Absolutely. The more the merrier. I mean, it definitely would be. I mean, deaconesses would love this. If they hadn't had the opportunity already, that would be wonderful. And I think they'd enjoy it. So there's no doubt. I think everybody should learn New Testament Greek.
I had the privilege as an undergrad student to study Koine Greek as well. My skills are nowhere near where they should be, but I have found it helpful even as a DCE, as one who teaching middle school students, having just a small working knowledge of the language is really helpful when you're wanting to go back and do some exegetical to prepare a lesson. It's really helpful for that. So it could be helpful for a deaconess student as well who's preparing Bible studies. How to apply for this course and find out more about it?
Yeah. So the URL is not small. So I was looking at it this morning and I just did a quick search in my preferred search engine for, I did CSL Online Greek, and the first result was this program. So if you type CSL Online Greek or perhaps Concordia Seminary Online Greek, maybe add the year 2026, you're going to get that result, hopefully the first one or two or three. I think it's got my picture beside it, which isn't helpful because this is the radio.
We'll share the link in the notes today as well.
Okay. All right. Very good.
We'll do that.
So yeah, you just click that link, fill it out, and the registration is due August 1st. So get in before that.
Is there anything that people should do to prepare themselves to take this course if they're listening to this and saying, "Ooh, this sounds like something I want to do"? Is there anything to, I don't know, mentally and physically prepare to dive into New Testament Greek for two semesters?
I love it. Physically prepare, yeah.
Calisthenics.
Yeah, right. It doesn't hurt. Yeah. I would just say the main thing would be make sure that if you're going to do it, you know, do it. It's not like you just sign up and you pass the course and then you magically know it. It's going to take work. It is hard, but fun and rewarding, like most things in life. And so prepare yourself, like set aside time, make a schedule where you're like, all right, this is how much time this is going to take. And I would say it could be anywhere from 6 to 8 hours a week, depending on the week. If you really want to cement it and get it down deep in your bones, it's going to take an investment of your time. So probably the best thing would be just make sure in advance you're planning for that, that your loved ones are aware that you're doing this and that you're dedicating that time to it and that they support that. That would be huge, because what you don't want to do is just like do the bare minimum and kind of skate by but forget everything right away. So I really want to lead you on this adventure as your field guide, but I want to make sure before you go that you know it's going to be an investment.
I might add, stock up on your study snacks as well before this.
Yeah, let's get some good coffee. That helps.
Yes, absolutely.
Our guest today, the Reverend John Genter. He is Associate Professor of Exegetical Theology at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, offering a course, online Greek course this fall at Concordia Seminary. You can find more information in the program notes today as well, or visit Concordia Seminary, CSL.edu. You can find more information there as well. Dr. Genter, thanks so much for being our guest on the Coffee Hour today.
Oh, my pleasure.
You've been listening to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.
The Concordia University System is comprised of 5 universities of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Located across the United States, the universities offer more than 160 undergraduate and 50 graduate programs and approach learning from a Lutheran context with the goal of developing Christian leaders for the church, community, and the world. Learn more about your Concordia University System at cus.edu. The Concordia University System, education built on God's Word. cus.edu.